This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Gauteng and FMR in Cape Town.
Well, the week ends with far less hope than we had last Friday when Professor David Moore, HOD of Anthropology and Development Studies at UJ, was on the line with Judith Todd. Professor Moore is back from Zimbabwe. And Professor, we were especially hopeful listening to Judith, who has been through so much, hold out that hope. Yet here we have an election that, once again, if you look at Nelson Chamisa's statements, is very much one that is being questioned in terms of its credibility, in terms of the probity of the whole process. Welcome back. What was the mood like before you left?
I left on Tuesday before the violence on the streets in Harare, and the mood was pretty good. It was looking like everybody was getting their vote and people were starting to count the votes, and it was peaceful, and Peter and Doro and I were talking lots on the SABC about how good things were going to be. But I had also that day had an interview with Jason Burke from The Guardian, and he was warning us and writing a story about the violence that was about to erupt. And I said, no, it's going to be fine. But I was wrong. There was violence on Wednesday because MDC supporters felt the process wasn't going correctly. And they were rough. I mean, they were throwing stones and smashing a few cars and scaring away the vendors, but they didn't have guns. And the police couldn't handle them, so the army came in. Not quite sure who told the army to come in. And up till six, the report now is six people were shot. So that wasn't looking good. But just now on ENC, I was watching before coming into the studio, Mnangagwa was giving a press conference, and he's handling the questions very well. He's saying he's setting up a commission of inquiry that will have international members to investigate the violence. And interestingly enough, for media people here, at the Bronte Hotel, which is a nice old colonial hotel just off the center of town, Chamisa was giving a press conference. And according to Mnangagwa, they had reports that violence was going to erupt. So the police came in and chased away the journalists. So all the tweets and WhatsApps that one gets are saying the police were chased away, this was horrible. Mnangagwa says, no, we actually didn't chase the journalists away. The ones who were accredited were allowed to stay. And he gave an order, well, he told the police there would be an inquiry. And within an hour, the police sent out an apology on the Twitter. So this is a very media-savvy campaign. Some people say Bell and Pottinger is involved. We have no proof of that.
Sans Frontiers, I've heard, which is the head, the former head of Bell Pottinger, Sir Tim Bell. And I must welcome Professor Raphael de Kut, Professor of Political Science and a Research Associate at the Helen Suzman Foundation. Professor de Kut, we were talking not so long ago about this era of post-truth and political rhetoric versus scientific rigor and evidence. What I have yet to see from Chamisa, I saw the scenes over the last few days of tear gas and six dead is never good, but I've yet to see the smoking gun evidence of any rigging of this election.
Yes, well, it's good to be here, Michael, and of course this picks up the discussion from where we left off. And I think one has to obviously look at different contexts and different situations. The post-truth, alternative reality, alternative facts phenomenon is something that has arisen very sharply as a point of discussion and indeed concern in, for example, the United States of America, more generally in the more developed economies. In the case of the Zimbabwean elections, we would obviously have to, in terms of of a political science or social science approach, which is, of course, concerned with the facts, with data, we would have to do the appropriate inquiries, investigations. And I think that's the key point, that one has to distinguish between claims, assertions, expressions of wish and desire on the one hand, and what can be established through let me broadly call it scientific inquiry. And one has to be careful what one means by science here. One doesn't mean a fixed body of knowledge that is unchanging, but it's a method. It's a way of approaching the world. How do you actually know that X is the case? It's the old thing. Snow is white is true as a statement if and only if snow is white. And so we've got to establish whether or not snow is white. And in the case of politics, this becomes very problematic because there's a tension between science and politics. And this was famously brought out by Max Weber in his two great lectures. Politics is about the pursuit of power, and science is about the pursuit of knowledge of truth.
Professor Descartes, just to stop there for a moment, as a cynical journalist, and to throw this back to Professor Moore, surely this is a very quantitative exercise. We have X amount of ballots cast, and we have observers monitoring that process, and we count the numbers, and we declare a victor at the end of the day. This is not about arguing over the color of a particular pair of pants on Twitter, as has been done in the past. This is a fairly scientific process. The issue I'm hearing is that there's been all sorts of questions asked around ghost voters on the roll and how things have been counted. To look at the victory, 50.8% is an unusually slim margin. It's very coincidental, Professor Moore.
Well, and it took a long time to count the last constituency, Matchonaland West. They took an hour. They left that one out of the tent. So the initial announcement was for 9. Then they waited about an hour to count those ballots. And one wonders, of course, in situations like this. Tuesday morning, an NGO was counting. Okay, you know the system. You go when the polling station finishes voting, the results of each polling station are posted outside. That was one of Thabo Mbeki's interventions, which came into place in 2008. So civil society activists can take pictures of those polling station results and send them into a coordinating center. So by Tuesday morning, there were 750 polling stations put in. There are almost 12,000 polling stations. This is an incredible apparatus, and it's a big job. So even the best electoral commission would have problems somewhere along the line. Out of those 750 polling stations, 21 of the results for the presidents were missing. So you have a vote for a president, you have a vote for an MP, and you have a vote for local councillors. 21% of 750 sheets were missing. So immediately, and that actually makes the election illegal, which David Coulthard, who was running for senator and is a very well-known political person in from Bulawayo. So he posted this and he says, well, the election's illegal. So this is a truth which is embodied in the Constitution. There are rules, as well as the actual counting, right? So the suspicion immediately was that these, and if the 21% was manifested throughout the 12,000 polls or close to it, there'd be a lot of votes to play with. If that was done, it was done. It would take months for a poorly resourced NGO community, because the NGOs have kind of left Zimbabwe, it's not that important for the international community anymore, to count them. Derek Matichuk, and I think you've probably interviewed him from the ISS, he has done a tremendous job of the 2013 election. Ghost voters, 1 million extra voters. So we have the science, we have the courts. The courts, of course, are dominated by ZANU-PF people. So in 3 months, we might find out the truth, the science. However, we also have magic in here, because in 2013, it was believed that if you put your ex on a ballot for Morgan Tsvangirai, it would magically go over to the then presidential candidate Robert Mugabe. That belief was still circulating around this time. And so there was, you know, they wanted to watch the ballots being printed. There were problems with the ballots in themselves, no magic. They put two, there were 23 candidates. They put two columns on the ballot paper and made sure that Emmerson Mnangagwa was first on the right. That's, you know, that's scientific fixing.
That is African post-truth politics at its very best. Unfortunately, Professor de Kut, we've got President Cyril Ramaphosa congratulating His Excellency Emmerson Mnangagwa on his election as President of Zimbabwe. According to his tweet, "We urge the people of Zimbabwe to accept the outcome of the election or follow the legal route should they wish to challenge it."
Yes, I think one has to, again, make a distinction here between, and David spoke, I thought, very eloquently to this, the distinction between the instruments that one uses to count votes, the logistics that are involved, which of course are different in a country like Zimbabwe to what they would be, say, in Germany, which of course is a system I know very well. Things like, you know, the technologies entailed, and even in very developed countries, take for example the United States of America, they still haven't sorted out some of the basic technical aspects of voting. Think back to the 2000 Gore loss in Florida, the hanging chads. And there is no uniform system in the USA. And some have found that some of the old-fashioned ways of counting, literally with candidates there and, you know, counting ballot sheet by ballot sheet or voting sheet by voting sheet, works better than some of these electronic or more sophisticated media. So that's something that one can address as, if you like, a technical challenge. That's a technical problem. I think the more worrying problem is when power gets connected to attempts to shape people's perceptions of reality, their perceptions of what matters, of the interests that really they should be addressing. That is something I think of much greater concern.
And that's why I was referring to this tweet in particular, because it's got the veneer of political affirmation for the election, to give it credibility, to say that we as a South African government condone what has happened, when quite clearly Professor Moore just demonstrated how this election is still mired in doubt and issues around credibility.
Right. I mean, that's an important issue, and clearly there are calculations being made in terms of you know, what it's important to affirm, what it's important to turn a blind eye to, because in the actual warp and woof of everyday political life, you know, politicians in particular, and one has to remember that you know, statesmen have just shifted slightly their role from being partisans to being, at their very best, you know, statesmen. They're still politicians, and they are looking to achieve certain kinds of outcomes. And clearly, in the case of Southern Africa, stability in the region is important for all kinds of reasons. And this brings me back to a point that we didn't discuss, which is the nature of language and rhetoric, that putting out the message using certain kinds of language has a political resonance and purchase of its own.
Well, we have to end it there, unfortunately. I do know that the last thing the ruling party of South Africa would want is for the end of One Liberation Movement's tenure just before a general election here next year. So read into that statement from the president what you will. Professor Raphael de Kut, Professor of Political Science and a Research Associate at the Helen Suzman Foundation, thank you very much. And Professor David Moore, HOD of Anthropology and Development Studies at UJ and one of the leading academics of Zimbabwe, for sharing your insights into another very, very controversial Zimbabwean election. Thanks also to our listeners from Cape Town for tuning in for the first first time this week. Really have enjoyed having you on board. An evening of great music awaits for you with Rose Hitching, and in Johannesburg, the company of the always sultry Carolyn Stain. Thanks for tuning in to Classic Business, brought to you by Yellow Pages.